Oh, welcome back, Beppers. What another big week in fantasy we've had. Number one, I couldn't be asked potting last week, so I'm not going to apologize for that. We are an occasional podcast, and occasionally we can't be asked. Speaking of people that couldn't be asked, the Lions couldn't be asked rocking up. They lost yet again, albeit in the torrential rain. Other things that were crappy was my attempt to get MS Paint bold predictions going. Another wildly unpopular segment on the BEP. What a surprise. But it was, by and large, generally accepted to be a down round. Not a good round for anyone. The last of the bye rounds, fortunately, I had a terrible score, 1680 or something god-awful. I ended up like 200 points below Warnie. I don't know what's going on with there. Isn't Warnie supposed to be crap? I thought Warnie was generally accepted to be crap at this game. How is he that much better than me? I don't know. Anyway, that is all behind us now. So we move on. We've got a new round. We've got 22 players on the field, and we're looking to move on a few more rookies. I think most teams are looking about 5 rookies on ground. So I should be targeting around that. I think I'm tracking okay. Maybe a few more trades to make. But we're moving into Anzac round, which is one of my favorite rounds on the calendar, I've got to say. We get to pay our respects to the diggers, go to the dawn service, have a good old gunfire breakfast, go to the parade, drink some beers, watch the Anzac Day match, put a few bets on, watch the Lions lose probably tomorrow night. That's new. That doesn't usually happen. But yeah, fantastic round of football awaits. So let's not dilly-dally. Let's dig right in. And tonight we actually do have a special guest, shock horror, an actual guest. So special, in fact, that he held the record for the lowest ever listens in a week on a BEP podcast for a while there. That's right. It's your mate and mine, Mr. Fat Andy. How are you doing this week, Andy?
Yeah, I'm the big fat, not too bad.
Well, you've got to be fat. I must say, though. Yeah.
It's big round. You're getting the big man in. What can I say?
Oh, big round, big man, yeah. Big man, you don't hold the record for the lowest listen podcast anymore since last year. That's actually been beaten a few times, so you don't have that one.
I did that one off. I'd only just woken up, and you know, did that off like no freaking. I had no idea half the stuff I wanted to say. At least today I've had quite 5 minutes to clear my head and get prepared this time.
Well, that's true. That's true. So you were on the cans tonight. You were saying I've got the Brick Lane One Love Pale Ale myself.
It's not too bad. I mean, Boot Rock is stout, man. Because I just went little grocery store around the corner. It doesn't have too much in the way of beer in there. So we've got a couple of not too bad things like stout from Boot Rocker. So yeah. I mean, a buy and I could just run in there and get that, or a Moondog if I'm feeling like Moondog a pale or an IPA. Yeah.
Yeah, IPA. So you shorten it to IPA, do you? I normally go with IPA.
IPA, pale.
Yeah, the Brick Lane's all right. It was cheap. What a shock. I bought the one that was cheap.
It's okay.
Always one of the cheapies.
Yeah, it's always not too bad. It's good beer. It's all about good beer, man.
Well, it's true. It's true. Good beer week's coming up, isn't it?
No, it's actually...
been? Oh, okay.
No, it's cancelled this show.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know. Probably finances and yeah, the whole
no,
thing.
No,
living,
good
but,
beer.
Okay, yeah, kind of like the Lions season. It should be cancelled.
Yeah, it's not been good. It's not been good. We've got a chance to come back tomorrow, but I don't know.
I think Jesse Hogan's
been he got off. Toby Green's been suspended, so that's one thing that's going in our favour. We'll see how it goes. How are your fantasy teams going?
Well, I've only got the one this year because, you know, as you were saying, keep a league, and it's doing okay. It's about where I'd expect it to be.
You're better than mine, though.
I've got a couple of losses coming up, and two or three strongest teams in the comp are coming up against. Except that round where I pay this Cots team, but we'll worry about that.
Boo! Yeah, the mighty haircuts have not been doing too well, but yeah, I think the draw favors you, and it has been unfavoring me because I've had a couple of very close losses to good teams, which is
I had one I should have taken Tachi, but that was because of the buy round took a few of my best players off the field.
Bloody touchy, Mr. Tackers.
Yeah, anyway, speaking for fantasy, I gave up on the whole super coach and stuff like that because I couldn't do better than Warnie.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Warnie plays super coach. He might.
Or whatever the trading ones that you're talking about.
The traders are all fantasy guys, AFL fantasy guys. They're the equivalent There is their equivalent in the Supercoach world, but I can't remember their names.
I gave up on that because I couldn't do better than one. And I'm saying, well, if I can't do better than him, there's no point.
Well, yes, no point. Yeah, I agree. The traders are supposed to be crap. I don't know. They've had a resurgence of late, and I'm not happy about it because I've been crap also. If they were getting better, but I was still better than them, I'd be perfectly happy for them to continue to play chumps. All right, let's whip into some games. Now we've got. We'll start off by doing a bit of a recap on the current game that's going on. So we've got the Demons and the Tigers. So
Tigers up by one. Six minutes into the third, man. It's looking like a not too bad a game.
And we have Jacob Hopper's got to be a resurgent here on 66. Maurice Rioli, out of nowhere, I wouldn't have picked him. He's on 65. Lever 63. I got my VC on Gorn. He's sitting at 660. And Trent Rivers has been making some headlines with a 60 as well, just after halftime. So interesting things. I think Petrarca has been having a down run. Yeah, he's only on 31. And let's see where Oliver is.
15 disposals for 44.
Yeah, not. I mean, it's fine this time of the game, but not great.
So you probably spend the second quarter. Looks like it. I mean, say fourth quarter. Depending on what happens, hopefully this game will open up.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
I don't have the footage in front of me, so I can't really.
Oh, I was literally just checking the stats as we go. I'm not watching the game.
Yeah, I got the same thing open in the timeline. Looking at the timeline, okay. It's like doesn't give you enough info here to say, hey, what's good. I'd listen to the audio, but it's too hard. Be too hard to have a conversation at the same time.
Oh, it would be funky. Yeah, have the audio in one ear and talking on the other one. You might be able to give highlights, but it'd certainly be an odd experience. That'll be an interesting game. Again, I said my VC's there. Definite captain potential on Gorn. I hope people have taken that. But let's jump into the next game, the big Anzac Day game. And we do have some ins and outs on the first two games we're going to cover because, we're going to go on Thursday like I normally do. But A, it's Anzac Day and no one will be asked, including me. And B, we've got two games tomorrow. So we thought we'd jump on Wednesday. Why not? And
Why not?
Peter Wright in, Elijah Tastis out. You're a Bombers supporter, aren't you? What do you make of Mr. Tastis keep getting admitted? Tastis?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised, but at least he's still kind of around and getting the occasional chance. I just hope he gets another chance to get back in.
Yeah, I don't know if they haven't replaced him with anyone except Peter Wright was more of a forward. So they must be changing some sub stuff around. McInnes.
Looking at the interchange, it's an interesting interchange. And I thought Hine was that injured.
He was out for a while, wasn't he? He must be back. Reef McInnes comes in for the Pies. I know he goes out. Oh, God, I'm having a bad one. He's been omitted. Harvey Harrison, who's another interesting character, probably not fantasy relevant, comes in. Let's look at what do we want to do in trades. There's some interesting ones. I've got Duzma here. I don't know. It'd be a bit harsh to trade him out. You certainly wouldn't want to trade him in, but he did himself no favors last week. I hope he bounces back. Bloody Duzmas.
Yeah, it was a tough game. That was a tough game to probably do well in.
I don't know. A lot of the other Essendon mids did well. He had back-to-back hundreds before that, so
yeah,
it's an interesting one. You want to trade in Martin? He's been killing it. I think you might have missed the boat on that though. He's probably pretty expensive at the moment. I'd have to check how long and how much, but probably too much to be jumping in on. I would say Parrish and Caldwell. I don't know if you'd go Parrish, but I guess it's probably worth having a look at. I think Caldwell sitting in the 700s, so that's worth having a look at too. I quite like a Caldwell pick. It's a bit of a pod there. I don't mind it. You've been seeing what Caldwell's been doing?
Yeah, it's been not too bad. Like I expect a little more, but maybe I'm just a hard taskmaster.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. He's been good the last couple of games, and I think he's cheap enough at 757. Plus he's got the mid forward. Average of 89.
That's always good.
Yeah, they got a good run coming up as well. They play West Coast after this, so not a bad time to be investing in Essendon players. West Coast, North, Richmond. Oh, that is juicy. Yeah, maybe I'll have to get myself
two out of, you expect two out of three wins from that, man.
You would think so, yeah. They could win tomorrow and then, yeah, you'd be winning from there. Probably not the Giants, but otherwise. Captaincy, yeah. Merritt, Martin. I don't know if you'd see them, but you could VC them. They're going to go well.
Maybe a Dacos, one of the Dacoses tomorrow might have a big game.
Yeah, I think Dacos is a fair point for a VC. Yeah. I don't mind your Josh Dacos as well in your drafts. If you've got nothing better. You're a Josh Dacos man, aren't you?
Big fan of Josh Dacos. And maybe Schultz as well, maybe off the half.
Yeah, you could do that. Don't mind it. I don't know if he's done too much this year, but yeah. Worth a look at. But maybe more of a streaming option or someone off the waiver wire. I had Ennis in the defenders. I think defenders are still good against Collingwood. So that's one to watch.
I'd expect Collingwood to win, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well,
I expect it to be close, but lower than the last.
Yeah, I had
Collingwood lower than the last.
29.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't completely shock me if Essendon won, but I've tipped Collingwood. All right, let's jump on to the next one. GWS and the Lions. Now, I've been ambitious and said the Lions by 18 here, but you know, I don't know.
That's
not confidently tipping them.
I had to go GWS, man. I just don't say anything to the Lions, man. I really don't.
Yeah.
And you got McInerney out as well, and Lions as well. Lions is admitted, so that's probably a good thing.
Yes, yeah. That Lions has been admitted, which is always a good thing. Not big on Lions. He kind of messes up the midfield. He's a bit of a plodder. Gets a lot of possession, which is great from fantasy, but he's not a good football player.
He's better with Neil around and a couple of the others as well.
Yeah, but when there's a bit more of take the pressure off him, he's just not a guy who can win it. He gets a lot of cheap ball. But GWS, yeah, out Toby Green, got suspended, had that appeal, didn't get off. Jesse Hogan did get off. That was annoying. In comes the debutant, Mr. Jones. So he'd have to be cheap for anyone that wants to bring him in. What are we looking at? D. Jones, yeah. 200K. I think his job security is pretty bad, though. They'd be thinking about getting him straight back out again when Toby comes back next week, you think.
Yeah. And he'd probably struggle with, Perryman and Himmelberg on the back line as well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's in there for the long term. Probably not one to bring in if you're looking for a cheapie. Trading outs. I didn't have too many to trade out. Tom Green, maybe he's expensive. He's been not fantastic of late. Or maybe it was just the 1 week he had. Let's have a look at his recent stats. Tom Green's hitting at 955. I suppose he made it to 100, but he did look shaky there for a little bit. He's gone 88, 72, 100. So, yeah, I don't think he's any great emergency to bring out. He's probably not doing the kind of huge numbers people thought.
Still for the average for the season.
Yeah, if you can use the money somewhere else, I wouldn't say no. But, yeah, you probably don't want to knock it on the head too easily. For the Lions, Zorko's been the one with the talking points. He's been getting it done.
Even Danaher's big jump this season compared to the last year.
Yeah, Danaher's a very good
surprise start to the season.
Very good draft forward. I doubt he's on anyone's waiver wise, but you'd be worthwhile picking him up. Yeah, but Zorko's been dominating with a 110 average. McKenna comes in. They had more issues at half forward this time with Bailey coming out, so you're going to rework with McKenna coming into half back. So there's a possibility he moves role, but yeah, one to watch. I don't think certainly wouldn't want to trade him out, but there's a question mark whether you want to trade him in. I think, but he's now 908, so that's expensive as well. I don't know.
But Bailey.
No, for Zorko. Bailey's out. Bailey's out for 4 weeks now.
He'd be fine. Yes, Zorko 900 if you got him. Yeah, it's great. What would you replace him with? Can you find anything you can make up the 20 points or 30 points that you need?
I wouldn't think so. The forward line's a tricky place to do that kind of thing.
Again,
don't know if I'd bring him in. Certainly wouldn't trade him out. You could have a look at that. He's probably the top forwards at the moment. Off the waiver wire, you'd have Darcy Fort, I think. As you know, you would know, I'm sure, Big O went down.
Big O went down.
Must have covered that. Yeah, we did. Darcy Fort comes in. McKenna comes in. Big O went down and Jarryn Vines was admitted. So, yeah, that's...
How long's the Big O out for?
He's got concussion. He got a head knock last week, so he's on concussion. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was actually something wrong with him after the concussion. He looked pretty sore.
Yeah.
So at least a week, if not multiple weeks there. But yeah, so Fort comes in and Briggs has been giving up points. So that's something to watch off your waiver wire for the Lions there. I think that could be a good draft ruck for the week.
Yeah. Briggs usually does fairly well. He's been inconsistent, but he'll have a big game and a quieter game. But if he's not, he's going up against Ford, he's probably going to do okay this week. He's going up against Big O, I wouldn't rate him at all.
But that's it. Yeah, Ford's not your best ruck. I suppose you never have your best ruck as a backup, so you never not quite know. Briggs, he could go quite well. All right, Port and the Saints. I've tipped Port here by a hefty 30 points. Do you think this give the Saints any chance?
Yeah, I'd give them a chance. But, they're playing in Adelaide, aren't they?
Yep.
I'm still bringing up the match. I'd probably say Port. I'd taken Port here, but I wouldn't be surprised if it depends on who's out. That'd be who comes in.
Yeah, we don't know the ins and outs for the rest of these games. It would be interesting, but I don't know. There's no notable outs or injuries, I don't think. No.
Interesting to see how Bona goes against the club, against Port.
Yeah, Bona's an interesting one. I actually traded him out a couple of weeks ago, but he picked up dual position status, so probably people won't want to look to get rid of him, but he has been kind of down. But he's still getting you 80s, I suppose. It's nothing to write home about, but you also wouldn't want to be trading him out at the moment.
It's good for the DP. He's good for the DP.
Yeah, handy in defense if you can slot him into like DP.
That's where I've got him in my fantasy side.
I don't know. There's too many ins, trade-ins. Anyway, Hugo Garcia has been good. You could probably still bring him in at, must be 200-300 by now. Hugo Garcia, 271, so still cheap. And what are his numbers like? He's got a 50 and a 70, so lots of money to be made there. I suspect he's got a low break-even. So, yeah, if you're looking for a cheap guy, I think that's your way to go if you haven't already got him. Steele had a down week last week, but I don't think you'd be getting rid of him. He's been on a good run. Don't know if you'd bring him in either. He's probably quite expensive now. $994. Yeah. Maybe see if he comes down. Been some talk about Zach Butters bringing him in. I'd never like Zach Butters. He's a mate of yours.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a Butters fan, but hey, I wouldn't bring him in if I didn't have him already in.
Yeah. I don't know. What are we talking? 916. It is. He's consistent. It's kind of a him and Rosie thing with Port, though. Like, they don't both fire at the same time. Yeah, I'd be hesitant to bring him in at that price. There's probably better options, but it's an interesting one. His captain potential, especially this week, you've got, Butters or Rosie or even you could VC Steel. I don't know if you put the C on him, but there's certainly a few captains floating around in that game, which is of use.
Yeah, Butters would be a good call because he's been, relatively consistent this season. Mm. Like, score's been relatively high.
Yeah, he's been up that 120 mark two or three weeks in a row now, so. Yeah, certainly something to look at.
He's probably going to get a chance this game too because what's going to stop him?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'd say maybe, certainly not too much in the way of the opposition unless they get a tagger out, but I can't see them doing that.
Would they put Russ or Sabin or...
Sab or was it Windhag has been doing a job or...
Filippo, maybe Filippo will come to the left of field. Maybe a bit of...
It's not impossible. I can't see them doing it, but you never know. All right, let's move on to North and Adelaide. And I think this one's in Hobart. Yeah, Bunston Arena. So that's going to be interesting. usually, I can't remember whether that's a very fantasy-relevant ground. I don't think it is. It's not like the other Tasmanian ground. I know it's cold and it's windy and it's just generally not a fun place.
So you'd probably be looking at a potentially low-scoring game.
Yeah. Shout out to Fluff who plays in our Keeper League and lives in Hobart. But it's going to be a zero fun place to be this weekend. Probably rain as well. But just a horrible place to play footy.
But both these teams have already played in this kind of game already, yeah?
I think so. Or similar games, yeah. I don't know. I'm still going to say Adelaide fairly comfortably. I had them by 20 here, but I reckon it could be a 50-point game without too much worry.
unless Adelaide decide not to turn, unless the rain and the wind has a really big impact, maybe. I wouldn't see less than three goals at least.
Adelaide been patchy, but I think they'll get the job done pretty easy.
Yeah.
Trade outs. Now there was some talk. I don't know that anyone would be buying it, but there was some talk of Sheasel changing positions and moving into the midfield.
Didn't he get a DPP this week?
No. There was just talk. He's been halfback pretty much flat out. They're just Clarko was talking about potentially moving him into the midfield to look to the future, given they're getting smashed by 70 points every week, which is, from a football perspective, not a bad idea because, yeah, obviously he's not affecting the game. He's got a whole lot of talent. He's not affecting the game, just racking up potential, racking up disposals and doing nothing with it for the team.
It's probably because there's nothing, no one else to go to.
Well, that doesn't help, yeah. Certainly. So, yeah, that could affect his role, but I wouldn't see any point trading him out, at least not until we get a couple of weeks of data on that.
At least not this week, maybe next or the week after, unless you can find, unless you have something there or know something there.
Inside knowledge there. I guess, but I wouldn't be doing it. Zach Fisher, though, people are looking to get rid of. He's been pretty crappy. He hasn't got anywhere over an 80 in the last, well, ever, actually, this season, and he's sitting at plump 662k and going downwards. So yeah, that's prime targets.
Yeah, I know.
In prime targets, Jordan Dawson, I think, against the against the Kangaroos, is going to go bang. He's been down a little bit. Well, he only had the one down game. He had 155 last week, which was huge against the Bombers. So I think it's going to be pretty big. Would you trade him in at 951k? I say yes. Trade him in, put the C on him. If you can afford him, I think that's going to be a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah, because he's probably going to rack up the possessions this week.
Yeah, against the North. Against the Kangaroos, I think so. I can't see too many other captaincy options. Maybe a Laird. If people have Laird, only 893. Now he's been losing money. But yeah, I don't think he's going to go that well. I'd bring in anyone from Adelaide, stream them, bring them off the wire. I think that'll be a good run. Any other thoughts on the Northern Adelaide game?
Other than probably find something else to do than watch the game.
Oh, it's going to be a horrible game to watch, I agree. I'll be very keen on it from a fantasy perspective, but I'll almost be no chance I'll be watching that game.
I'm trying to see if I can find something, but yeah, I can't see nothing. Nothing jumps out of me, even from the players that are there. Like,
yeah, it's pretty much stream Adelaide players, and get the key ones from North. Probably it's a question of who. There's a heap of North rookies which people probably have, like a McKercher or a Doosma or some of the other ones. But and would you drop them? Do you cut them? I think you would if you get a chance. I'd probably be getting rid of McKercher myself. Maybe a Zane Doosma.
Depends on where they play though. Play. If defenders, I'd probably keep defender. I'd probably make a case for
McKercher. Yeah, maybe. But
maybe some of the midfielders. But anyone going forward, maybe anyone forward side, I'd probably be less likely to leave them in.
I think so. You want to be getting rid of those guys. All right, we've got the Cats and I think that's at the MCG. MCG on Saturday. Yes. If it was in Geelong, which probably should have been for all the Cats fans out there, actually don't mind that new Geelong stadium. I go work near it sometimes. It looks quite impressive.
That's a good check it out.
Because almost nothing in Geelong looks impressive.
Except in the rearview mirror when you go into another place.
No, I've got an office down there now. I go down there occasionally. The waterfront's quite nice. The building, our office is ratty and old, but it's in a great location. Yeah, they've actually done some work on that Geelong waterfront. If anyone's in the area, probably worth popping down and taking a look. But don't be in the suburbs. Bit sketchy.
I think other than the last time I was in Geelong and passing through, there was still a Sizzler on the boardwalk down there.
Wow. Oh yeah, there used to be a Sizzler.
With any decent time, when might have been still the Sizzler, still might have been there.
What is that, like 98? You haven't been down for that long.
Oh, no, I passed through, like I've been on the train through or the bus through,
okay.
But never actually stopped off and, spend the afternoon there.
it's not bad on the waterfront. Yeah, it's don't mind it. It's good bad points, and I think it's on the up and up. But yeah, certainly sketchy pass. The stadium was terrible. I had been there 2 or 3 times in the last 10 years. Absolutely rubbish place to be, especially as an opposition supporter. But they've done some work on the stadium. Whether they have done some work on the fans is a better question.
I wouldn't say so. They're probably just as annoying as a Collingwood fan, yeah.
I'd imagine so.
I'd probably go left of field here, and I think I've gone Carlton in my tipping.
I've gone Carlton as well. Not by much. I've gone by 10. So,
yeah. Just because I know Cats aren't playing at home. They're playing at the G. They tend to not play as well.
Yeah, I think so. Carlton have been looking good. I think it will be a pretty good game, though.
Yeah. I think they'll have some good ends back in as well, Carlton.
Yeah, I think so. All right, what do we got? I've got Guthrie's coming in. I read that. We haven't got the actual ins, but I read that he's back. Whether or not he gets selected into the team straight away, I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's likely to come in. I think Tom Stewart will be out, you know, in by concussion or other means. I'm not sure, but he did cop an injury last week. By all reports, he's not going to play. Yeah, that's probably the only ins and outs knowledge that we have at the moment. But yeah, I don't know of any more news. You haven't heard any squirts or anything about that game?
Nah, I'm usually feeding off the same source as you are, man. I was hoping the likes of Sad might be back, but I don't think he's back for another week or two, yeah?
No, I did read he's going to be out for a while. The Blues have been copping a lot of injuries recently, so there's a bit of a mystery of how they line up. That could be interesting.
I think we'll play in it, which will give him a slight edge, I reckon, in the game as well.
Yeah, possibly.
And Hewitt and that are probably due for big games as well.
Yeah, I'd say so. There could be some mix-up in that Blues midfield due to their injuries. But
Wettering's been playing surprisingly well, but not necessarily fantasy relevant.
Yeah, draft maybe. I've got him in a few draft leagues. He's been going quite well. Not blowing the house up, but he never does. He's a solid 70s kind of guy.
Yeah.
But Sam Walsh came back, was it last week or the week before? And he's been going great guns, so I think he's a certain, definitely a target to come in. I picked him up last week. What is he, 9-11? Yeah, he's gone that 145 the first week and then 101 last week. The Cats do give up points to midfielders as well, so fantastic option to bring in, fantastic option to captain. He's my captain's pick of that game. I don't know if you say captain's pick of the week, but... if the VC fails tonight, which I hope it doesn't, then I could go there. And Zach Williams has been going crap, and he's under an injury cloud too, I think. So he might play. He's been doing pretty bad of late, so it might be time for Zach Williams to go. Defense is probably not a bad place to upgrade. Streaming options is anyone from Carlton's mids. I didn't see anyone on the waiver. Geelong seem to be giving up points in the midfield. My mates on the BEP chat keep telling me, and it seems to be a trend, so something to watch. You got any Carlton midfielders in your side, fringe Carlton midfielders you might want to bring in for this week?
I got Hewitt, but I've probably only got him on the field.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I got Williams in my side as well, but defender.
We got Zach Williams, yeah, you might want to watch that. He might be out. Yeah, just check out the selections tomorrow night. Just see if he's in.
Yeah, because it's a tough season for selections from our fantasy league for me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I haven't been getting mine right. I haven't picked anyone that's injured, but I've certainly picked the wrong guys at the wrong time and left the people who are dominating on the bench.
I haven't had too much trouble with that this year. Just that pretty much 90% of my bench isn't playing this week anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I had that. My team's like half line, so that week we had the bye was a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's jump into the next game. What do we got? Frio and the Western Bulldogs, which it could be all over the place. They've both been having weirdly, all over the place form lines. Those two. What do you make of both of these teams?
Yeah, it's an interesting game. It's one of those I looked at. It's like, you know, when I look at one, I'm like, how am I going to see how this game's going to play out? And I can't see. Yeah, because you'd expect Freo to bounce back after that humiliating loss last week. And maybe, St. Kilda didn't live up to the, didn't survive the onslaught from the week before.
Yeah, they're just a random team. So I don't know which way it's going
to go. He's looking at the last few games. Like, yeah. Bulldogs probably should have beaten Geelong. They're probably just a little unlucky there.
Yeah, I could see either of these teams just not rocking up, Freo or the Western Bulldogs. They both had a potential to be just rubbish.
I wonder if it'd be hilarious they both rock up and be rubbish, and we see possibly our first draw for the season. But
oh, you love your draws, don't you? Always trying to bet on the draws. How much success have you actually had betting on the draws?
Not that much. I usually look at the quarter by quarter. It's bad. I'm off on.
Yeah, that's true. Have you been quarter by quarter draws? Have you actually won much of those?
It's an occasional one here and there, but you only have to hit one or two with you know, the right other things in your multi.
How's your ridiculous multi you put on tonight tracking?
Yeah, not too bad. That's why I keep going back and looking. It's like, oh, I haven't got to the thing yet because I'm looking at the player stats.
Busy tracking your multi instead. You could have cashed out at $3 or whatever they offered you.
Just put $5. But
yeah, put $5 on and they want to give you $3 back.
I'm not too bad. Like, I need going to get another 5 disposals. If I need to get 10, that's probably not going to happen.
Are they offering you more than you stake yet?
Nah, they must be still playing, so they won't let me choose to...
To cash out at greater than that.
Yeah, until the quarter's over.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I've got Freo by an absolute buttload here. I think the Western Bulldogs are in a danger of just not rocking up at all. But
and they're traveling too, so...
Yeah. But Freo by 70 is what I've written here.
Maybe 6, but...
6? Okay.
6 goals.
Oh, 6 goals. 36. Yeah, no, maybe that's 36. Probably a more realistic...
That's if Fremantle actually turn up and play.
That's true.
And with the crazy stuff the coach has been doing at the Bulldogs, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just all over the place. And the Bulldogs craziness is, yeah, one of the reasons you'd probably be looking to trade out Sanders. He's been the sub the last couple of times. He's been a good cash cow, but I think it's time to go. People are going to trade it. People want to trade in McRae. And he is cheap. He's sitting at about 701 from memory. Let's have a look. McRae, 715, not 701. So, yeah, he is really cheap, but he can also just get Bevo to oblivion. So I might be tempted at that price, to be honest, but I'll probably stay away for a week. Yeah, I don't know what about that. Have you seen kind of the up and down form that McRae's in this year?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I'm expecting to be a bit more consistent, but yeah. No, every
75, 28, 78, 129. So just all over the place.
It's kind of like you'd expect from like a freaking, what's his name again? Norton. It's kind of like a Norton freaking scorecard there.
It is, yeah. Except Norton would be like 5, 158. He's all over the place, that guy. Speaking of people all over the place, we have Darcy's back in the ruck, which means Luke Jackson's value is a question mark. I've seen a lot of people trading out Luke Jackson, which I don't mind, but I think I've got bigger fish to fry to trade Luke Jackson.
Depends on whether he's worth the cash or not, man.
Yeah,
you get the cash now and inject it into something else.
If you don't do it now, you're going to start losing money. So he only got a 61 last week, so potential to lose money, especially rucking against English. I don't know. English does give up points, but the two of them together, I don't know.
Assuming English is even likes of English is even playing, but yeah, but
that's true. And Brayshaw's been up and down as well. I don't know if you'd trade him. I've already traded him. I kind of regret that. But he had a 93 last week, but I was thinking of the Eagles. He's been up and down. He's still sitting at 925. You might look to move him on, but that's probably not a priority. Guys to stream, yeah. I don't rate the Western Bulldogs defense. I think streaming Freo forwards, guys like Walters, it's probably a good idea. Some of the other good forwards from Freo, which names escape me. Captain C, yeah, Sarong, maybe.
It's probably the best choice, man.
Yeah, I think so. There's not too many, and he's been Brayshaw, maybe. As well. Yeah, it'd be Brayshaw or Sarong, someone from theirs.
You wanted to go
left. Could potentially throw it on like a McRae, Treloar from a draft point of view. Yeah, I don't know. You also might find Erasmus on your waivers, I think, if he's going to get look to see if he gets a game, but he got a game last week. Didn't go very well. Might get another game. Be better. I don't know.
I know Ryan had a shocker last week, but he's been relatively consistent other than last week.
Yeah, he's one of the kind of
a bit of love, but he's probably only like a 90, might only get a 90, 95. a good week.
But averaging, he's had a couple of big scores. He's had a 125, a 112, and a 105. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's probably one of your top defenders. Whether or not he's worth 876K, I don't know. But yeah, if you're looking for defenders and you've got money to spend, he's certainly an option, especially if people are kind of trading out a Tom Stewart because he's injured. That could be somewhere to go. I don't mind that.
Fairly consistent for years, man.
That's true. That's true. He's certainly a consistent guy, and he's been in a very good keeper league pick. How long have you had Ryan?
I think since I first took him in the side. Yeah. I'd have to check exactly. I think he's one of the ones I always pencil in.
That's true.
Right in pen every year.
Been a very solid pick from the start. All right, let's take a look at the Gold Coast and the West Coast Eagles. Again, another game I don't really know what to make of. Gold Coast have been bad recently, but I don't think that's really what they've... I think they're better than what they've been playing, and West Coast, I think they're worse than what they've been playing. So I don't know which way this one's going to go.
Wasn't you guys saying that they're going to rest a particular individual for this game?
Yes, you're right. Mr. Harley Reid's going to be rested. And that is big news on the outs. So they've had that confirmed, I believe, by the journalists. I can't remember if it's Tom Morris or Footy Rhino or someone. I was busy bagging out Footy Rhino during the week because I don't like the way he always hacks on Neil and says he's sure he's going to go back, and he pestered him that whole off-season. So I was bagging out Footy Rhino and saying he needs to get off Neil's back, but then I realized I went on Twitter and he actually follows me. So I was like, oh, what a guy. I love that bloke. I don't know why he follows me. Surely he's got better stuff to do. Maybe I made a pun on his timeline at one point, which he liked. People occasionally follow me for 2 seconds when I do that and then jump off.
I don't think I follow you on Twitter.
No, are you even on Twitter?
Yeah.
Definitely don't follow you because I didn't even know you were there.
No, I only get on to troll people and have fun.
Oh, that's always fun. Yeah. Stuart does a lot of that, a bit of Twitter trolling. If you've got the stomach for it, it's good. I never do. I always get on and I troll people and then it blows up in my face and within about 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm out. It's too much.
I've got about half a dozen. I've got like only three people have banned me, have blocked me. So
Well, that's pretty good.
That's not too bad.
I've probably been blocked by more than that. I get blocked occasionally. Mostly when I put up puns that are on the insensitive side of punning, and people pretty quick to hit the pop box.
But anyway, let's get back to this game.
Please. Yes, please.
Rowan would be a good choice for this one, man.
I think so.
Rowan, whatever the...
Actually, got him on the trade out point of view. I have Rowan. He's been... what did he score? I guess he's been consistent enough. 80, 99, 95. He hit like 112, 115, 104 at the start of the year. He's been on the downward trajectory, probably not enough for me to actually bother looking at him in terms of trading outs. But I don't know if you trade him in either. Sam Flanders, though, he's the big man in the forward line. I'd be looking to bring him in, but again, he's quite expensive. Whether or not he's worth 900K, but he's been going massive in the forward line, 102, 125, 126. Playing the Eagles this week, and then the Lions, which will be tough, and then the Roos. So could be a good time to bring in Flanders, which I might actually do. I'll just write Flanders down here. Look to trade him in. Anderson's been going all right. Cloisi's probably the big guy. He's been the rookie, which has been dominating out there. So I don't mind that at all. Sam Cloisi, 422, which is expensive for a rookie, but he's been getting it done with back-to-back 90s and then a 70. So against the Eagles, maybe if you want to go down from someone that's 700 or something, pocket a little bit of coin for a little while as he goes back up again. That's an option, but hard to do at 422K. Certainly a great keeper league pick, though. Streaming, I'd say I still like Gold Coast mids. So guys like Fiorini or, something of that ilk, which could be sitting on your waiver because he hasn't done. I suppose he's been all right. He got 103 last week.
Looking at averages for all these guys, man. It's most the first four Gold Coast players, man.
Yeah, I think that it's a good bet to try and get Gold Coast players in for this week.
Maybe Duggan. Waterman's on the way up as well. He's still fairly inconsistent. It's kind of a bit. hit and miss on him, but he's definitely showing trajectory in the right direction.
Yeah, he's probably available on your waivers, and he's been going, I don't know, maybe he hasn't. He had that 148 a couple of weeks ago, and probably everyone probably would have picked him up from there. That was against the Tigers, though, but certainly 148 and 94 off his last two. That's not a bad call at all. I don't know if you could do it. 719 is cheap enough, even from a classic point of view. I don't hate that. Good point of difference.
719 is a bit steep. But...
Oh, yeah, but as a as a guy that's looking at, had 148 and 94, it is a bit of a point of difference, and if you've only got, if you want to trade out someone that's 600, that's crap. You're only paying 100 grand to bring in someone like that. I don't mind it.
Well, maybe if you pick him up for 500, it wouldn't be a steal.
Oh, 500, you'd do it in an instant. But yeah, 700, you're right. 700, you have to think about it a little bit more, but it's not bad. All right. Hawthorn and the Swans. I think Hawthorn obviously showed some good signs against North, but the Swans will get this done easily enough, you reckon?
Yeah, I don't see Hawthorn really troubling them. As me thinking of that game, you remember the season when Hawthorn was really good, and they played Carlton one time at Telstra Dome Eddie had back in the day. It was that game, and the one time you hear Carlton kicked a goal, you could hear like the one person Carlton supporter left in the stadium clapping.
That bad? What? How much that did that lose by?
I forget how much they lost by, but there's that moment sticks with me. That's how I feel this moment, this game will be.
Like one guy, yeah.
Yay, Carlton. Oh, Hawthorn's got a score. Ooh.
Hooray. Yeah, that would not have been fun. I've been to Lions games like that.
I didn't care the results, so. Hawthorn Carlton game, who cares? I was just on top card when I was there anyway, but I just remember that moment.
Nice. Yeah, I had the Swans by 40. I think they'll do it easy enough.
Easy. I wouldn't pick them anything less.
No. The trade outs are mainly full of Hawthorn guys as well. Massimo Ambrosio, if anyone's still got him, despite him picking up midfield defender status, I think he's well on the way out if you haven't got rid of him. Newcomb as well.
I was expecting more from him by now in the season. But...
Yeah, a lot of people, a big guy from the start, people have picked him up. Lost a lot of cash, I think. Over the journey, just sitting at 700 now. Yeah, you've got to get rid of him at this point. He did get 103 against the Hawks, which is probably
wanted,
but yeah, we'll keep him going forward. I had Warple written down to get rid of, but I don't know if anyone would have actually brought him in. He had that one big score. Probably one of those guys you want to put back on your waivers if you've got him in draft and pick him up a couple of weeks ago. How did Gordon go? When he was listening on the radio, he was having a down game, but he probably picked it up. He did, so he got 100 last week.
I'd probably keep an eye on the likes of Meek, but I wouldn't bring him in straight this way.
Meek. He's certainly a great proposition from a draft point of view. 609 is still pretty cheap from a classic point of view. He's
less than 80, though.
That's it, yeah. 92, 81, 50, 73. He's not one of those big guys. He's very solid. Contributor, but not a huge scorer. I don't know if there's much to trade in. This one's big guys.
Adams potentially is on the way up after his injury plague start.
He was out injured. No, he's come back. He got an 83, 619 from 83. I think there's better options, but certainly one to watch if he starts hitting his straps. Something to go to for the second half of the season. I don't mind that.
Because he'll probably outperform like McInerney and Roberts and the other guys who are a bit higher there soon enough.
I'd say so.
The dual position is quite handy as well, forward midfield.
Yeah, it's useful. I think there's a few forward midfielders, but yeah, in the forward line, we struggle a bit. So, yeah, certainly one to watch. Captaincy in this game, yeah, I would go Goulden. I don't know there's too much else you would touch from the Swans' point of view. Maybe a Grundy. Depending on how much Meek's going to put up a fight.
I think Grundy will take Meek to the cleaners.
Yeah, Grundy got 142 last week against Wits, so it's probably a good shout that he'll be quite
similar again this week.
The Hawks, yeah, so that's definitely a captain's
assuming Meek's the one who's going to be the rock this week.
Well, yeah, that's true. They could change it up and bring Reeves or whatever his name back in. Yeah. It's always interesting what the Hawks do with their rucks. Cool. We are all right. We're out of game. So this is the point where we haven't taken listener questions in weeks because we never get any. I'm going to stop going out for them. Apart from that time when I put in my own listener questions with burners, which was fun. But yeah, so now we do just jump straight to the bold predictions. And we make a football bowl prediction and a fantasy bowl prediction. So for the week. So I went football bowl predictions, the Lions to beat the Giants by 30 points plus, which I think is quite bold because I'd be surprised if they beat them at all. But you never know. And from a fantasy perspective, I'm going to say Andy McGrath gets 120 plus points tomorrow and wins the Anzac Day medal.
That's a good one. That's actually a good one. Yeah, I'd expect McGrath to have a big game tomorrow. It's going to be tough. It's going to be one of the midfielders that's going to take the Anzac Day medal for sure.
I would, yeah, probably a Merritt or a Parrish or a Nick
Dacos. Big Dacos.
I'd imagine. But what have you got? You got any football and fantasy ball predictions for us?
Ball predictions just for this round?
Yeah, just this round.
Let's see. What is it? Let's go something really crazy. Hawks to beat Sydney.
Hawks to beat Sydney. Oh, yeah. It is. Like that's six, not bad.
Six that's, points that's, or less. Down at the J. Could be. Could be terrible weather. It looks like the weather's going to be a bit mad this weekend.
Yuck. Well, it always is in Melbourne, but even more so this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, Hawks probably due for an okay game.
That's true. It's generally what I do for the bowl predictions as well. This week I looked at it and went, I have to stop finding the crap teams and saying they will beat the good teams because that's what I generally do every week.
Because,
West Coast to win. North to win. Never happens.
Because most of the games are fairly obvious. You're looking at what? You're looking at Melbourne tonight, which probably plays tomorrow. Giants over Lions, unless you Port should take St. Kilda. Crew should be North.
There's not a lot of...
Well, I'd say Carlton over Geelong.
Yeah.
Fremantle should take the Doggies, but... So it's a 50-50 either way for me. And, you know, Suns should take the Eagles.
And then the Swans.
I can't see. And the only one I see that might play out weirdly is the Hawks game.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I don't mind that. There's this one. The Hawks can play good football. They're one of those teams that can show up and beat a good team like twice a season. And generally it's the Lions. They tend to match up well against the Lions, especially MCG.
They haven't played well against, if you look at the last few games, the recent encounters, they haven't played well against Hawthorn since like 2021.
Yeah.
I'd put them they're due, but that's just a, you want a bold prediction. I'll give you that as a bold prediction.
Yeah, I think that's pretty bold.
And I'll throw it, and I'll say Meek beats Grundy, gets a ton.
Meek outscores Grundy.
And Meek outscores Grundy and gets a ton. How about that?
And gets a ton. Oh, don't mind that.
Gets the 100 points in fantasy, man. How about that? There's a bold prediction for
you. Nice. I like that. Ton Meek and he beats Grundy. And what was the other one? The Hawks to beat the Swans.
Yeah, less than six.
Yeah, that's pretty bold.
I see it being, if they do it, it's going to be very close. Otherwise, it's an absolute blowout. And, you know, you stop watching the game at halftime because Sydney's walking away with it.
That's how I expect it to go. But then
Sydney takes the foot off the gas. Hawthorn could possibly come back. You got those kind of thoughts in there as well. Maybe I'll throw in a second one. Maybe the Bulldogs and Fremantle game will be so bad it'll end up in a draw.
Dogs and Frio for a draw.
If I was one.
Couldn't help yourself but put
it. Couldn't help myself to throw a draw in there, man. If there is a game, I think it'll be that one. If there is a game, that would be the one I'd be looking. I don't know.
I don't mind Carlton Geelong for a draw either.
Maybe I might be doing a little stupid bet tomorrow of those two are drawing to a draw.
No maybe about it. You love your bloody stupid draw bets. Even though you never win.
I get the occasional one. I missed the last couple that happened. I missed the last one that happened.
Never win. Speaking of things that are never winning, this podcast, and we'll sign out on that note. What a segue. Did you like that?
Yeah, it was a good segue. That was a real good segue.
Yeah. Not winning segues about not winning. How cool.
I had to get you some bold predictions, man. So someone can come along and go, what the fuck was this guy talking about?
Nobody ever knows what you're talking about.